In his farewell address, General Douglas MacArthur said, "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." Well, we don't want our old soldiers to fade away. We want to honor them. And so today is a day that we want to honor our soldiers. God, oftentimes in the Bible, honored soldiers. Of all the people that Jesus met, Jesus said this to a soldier, "I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel." He said that about a soldier. After Jesus died, it was a soldier who was the first one to recognize who he was and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." And when you read through the Bible and you find out, it's almost like God has a favor towards soldiers. It may be because of their courage. It may be because of their love for country. It may be because of their faithfulness. They're willing to sacrifice their own life for what they believe in. But God loves soldiers, and so do we. There was one soldier that Jesus mentioned by name. His name was Naaman. And I want to look and see what that is. He mentioned him, but actually it's from all the way back in the Old Testament. So if you have a copy of your Bible, if you'll look in 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to learn about a great soldier who had a great problem. He had an impossible problem. Even though he was great, he had a disease that was called leprosy. And we use that anymore sometimes sparingly, but we don't have that much of a problem with it here in the United States. But back in the day, when you got leprosy, pretty much your life was over. It was the cancer without a cure. And in fact, there was no cure. When you got leprosy, it affected your nervous system. It affected your skin. It caused it almost like a cancer on the outside. You were ostracized because people didn't know how you caught it, and so they just kept you in one little section of quarantine. The Jews, if you had leprosy, you had to yell out anybody that was close, you know, unclean, unclean, because you were not allowed to come into any contact with anyone. It was just the most dreaded disease. It was impossible, but we're going to find out that God made it possible. And so the reason why I'm bringing this out, not only because he was a soldier, but because I think a lot of us go through impossible situations. We go through situations in times in our life when we really don't have an answer, or at least the answers that people give us are not good answers, and we just don't know what to do. Well, with God, the impossible becomes possible. So 2 Kings chapter 5, let's read the story of Naaman. 2 Kings 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." That verse is loaded with a lot of things. The Lord honored him. His king honored him. He was a great soldier, but the one thing against him, the one thing, he was a leper. And as I say, it was dreaded. In verse 2, it says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Israel, the king of Syria, said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan, that's the Jordan River, 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, angry, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. That's an amazing story. Amazing story of a man, a soldier, a real soldier who ended up with leprosy and didn't know what to do. And just so happened that there was a little girl that we don't know who she is. And she said to his wife, well, you know, if this would have happened, then it kind of got to the king, and then it got to the king of Israel, and then finally it got to Elisha, and then Elisha said to go do something, and he almost didn't do it, and his servant said, well, why not just give it a try? And he did, and he could have stopped it, dunked it down 6 times, and it wouldn't have worked, but he dunked down 7 times, and he was completely clean. The impossible became possible. So here's what I have. The impossible can become possible if you know what to do. Because if it's either one or the other. It's either impossible or it's possible. It can't be both. And he had leprosy, and as far there was a cure. There was a cure. He just didn't know. He was up there in his country, Syria. He didn't know about Elisha. He didn't know that there was a prophet. He didn't know that this guy could do something. So as far as he was concerned, it was an impossible situation. And yet we find out that over the chain of people saying something, one person telling another person, and another person told another person, it came down to the king, and then Elisha heard it, and Elisha did this, we find out that the impossible became possible. And isn't that really the truth? Sometimes, have you ever thought something was impossible? It can't be done until somebody does it. Just think about some of the things that we take for granted now that would have been thought impossible 100 years ago. Planes, cars, cell phones, all the computers, all the stuff that if you would have talked to somebody 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they said, it's impossible. Man can't fly. It's impossible. You can't do that. It's impossible. You go, and then you show them. Have you? And a lot of times we have those situations where we just need to know. If you've ever been in had a sickness where you didn't know the results, you didn't know what it was, that is devastating. We had some issues with my daughter she was passing out. And we took her to Adrian Bixby. We took her to U of M. We took her to the Mayo Clinic. We took her to the Cleveland Clinic, and they couldn't figure it out. That's hard when you don't know how to fix something. When you don't know what it is, and finally they've kind of figured it out, and they gave her a diagnosis, and now she's able to treat it, and now it's curable, or at least managing it. But sometimes if you don't know what it is, you think that's impossible. Let me give you one. Here's one. There were 2 fathers and 2 sons, and they all decided that they would go hunting on opening day. And so two fathers and two sons went hunting on opening day, and every one of them got a deer. Every one of them got a deer. Every one of them brought their deer back, and they hung it up. And when they hung it up, there were only three deer, but all of them got one. How is that possible? How is that possible? What's that? Yeah, one of the fathers and sons were the same people. And now there were two fathers, two sons, and they ended up, it's a grandpa, son, grandson. You had two fathers, then you had two sons. There were only three of them. There you go. Now some of you are going, I have no idea what he just said. Welcome to my world. But in other words, sometimes you think, well, that's impossible for that to happen until somebody tells you the answer, or until somebody brings something in, until somebody brings in brand new information that you never even thought about. Then you go, oh, yeah, well, I guess the impossible is possible. I guess it can work out. I guess it can happen. Naaman had leprosy. Now, I don't know that anybody has leprosy, but here, let me give you kind of where I'm going with this. If you have an impossible situation, it may just be you just don't know something. It may be out there, and so keep searching. But when you read in the Bible, here's what's interesting. When you read in the Bible, you discover that God uses leprosy as an illustration of sin. It's incurable, and we have it, and we can't get rid of it, and we don't know what to do with it. And it's an impossible situation. You see, you can't get rid of the wrong. If you've ever done something wrong and have you ever tried to make up with it by doing something right, it doesn't work out. You hurt your wife and say something and you do something and then you try to make it up with flowers and candy and clothes. You know, okay, that's wonderful, but you can't get rid of the bad stuff. And we can't get rid of our sin. It's incurable. Unless you know something, unless you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And you know, there's a lot of people in the world that they just don't know that. They're trying to do a bunch of good stuff. They're trying to go to church. They're trying to do good things in the community. They're trying to build up a lot of good things so that when it's their time to go and they stand in front of God, they're hoping that God's going to say, wow, look at all the good things you did. And here's some of the bad things. You know what? You did more good than bad. So come on in with the good people. But as long as we have the bad stuff in our life, we can't go to heaven. It's because heaven's a perfect place. And when you bring bad stuff up there, when you bring sin, it's not perfect anymore. We have to find some way to get rid of that. And the way you get rid of that is to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. It really is fairly simple. You see, it's not just the impossible is possible if you know what to do. The impossible is possible if you do what you know. You have to do something about it. Just because you know what you should do doesn't mean you're getting it done. You have to do something about that. And that's what Naaman did. You know, well, I just read you the story. He knew what he should do. So he went down there and he went in and he was there at Elisha's door. And Elisha sends out a servant. And the servant tells him, go wash in the Jordan River. Well, he gets really ticked off. Because number one, he's an important guy. At least Elisha could have come out and made this big production and, you know, clapped his hands and all this kind of stuff and called God down and done something, but he didn't do anything. He didn't even meet him. Plus, the River Jordan was probably dirty and stinky and yucky, and he says, you know what, there's better rivers in my hometown. I'll just go back home and I'll do it up there. And then he turned around and went away mad in a huff. And one of his servants said, well, if he had told you to do something hard, you'd have done it. Why not try this? And so he did, and that worked. And here's the problem. With most of us, it's not that we don't know what we ought to do, it's we just don't do it. Let me throw one out here that we don't like. Lose weight. You know, to lose weight is real simple. eat less, exercise more. We know what we ought to do, right? But do we do it? Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, I go between, you know, what, 10 o'clock at night and 8 in the morning without eating. You know, is that good enough, you know? In other words, sometimes we know what we should do. When we hurt somebody's feelings, what should we do? Apologize. But isn't it amazing that we don't do what we know? We deep down know what we should do. When people come in and talk with me about counseling, and a lot of times, here's what happens. They say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. My job most of the time is to get them to admit what they already know, because they already know what they ought to do. They just don't want to do it. And with Naaman, it was pride. I'm not going to do something so simple. I'm not going to go down there and do that. Why, you know, he should have come out here. He should have patted me on the back. He should have come out and met me. He could have sent me to a better river. And finally, he had to humble himself and say, you know what? I'll try it. And when he did exactly the simple thing to do, God completely cleansed him of his leprosy. It was completely gone. And we do that way sometimes with our relationship with God. We know what we ought to do. For some, this isn't the first time you've heard about what Jesus has done for you. You've heard that Jesus has died on a cross, and he died for the sins of the world. But you know what? Until we do something, until we follow up on that, it doesn't do anything for us. We might know what we ought to do, but we need to just go ahead and do it. And why don't people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Sometimes it's because sometimes we make it too complicated. You see, the gospel is really, really very, very simple. To believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again, and then to confess him as your own personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to those that would believe on his name. To believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done, and then to receive him as my own personal Lord and Savior. It's just to talk to him. And it's really, really quite simple. It's just turning it over to him. You know, isn't getting married really simple? You just stand up in front of the correct person, whether it be the justice of the peace or a preacher or whoever it is, and you just say the right words, I do, and kiss, and you're married. You know, have the preacher sign your certificate, and you're married. It's really quite simple. It starts a whole lifetime of changes in your life. And to receive Jesus Christ is very, very simple, but it will start some wonderful changes that happen in your life. Could you imagine Naaman, now that he doesn't have leprosy, the things that he could do, the people that he could meet? So it's really, really quite simple. We just need to do it. Jesus will change your life, regardless of who you are or what you are. He will change your life to the positive. I just read this. William Moore was a young man, and he got himself into some petty crimes, a little bit of stealing here and there, but he found out that one of his neighbors had a lot of money. This is down in Georgia. He found his neighbor carried a lot of money in his house, so he thought he would go in and rob him. So he went in and started getting in the house, and the guy inside the house had a shotgun. And he turned around and shot out at William. And William shot back, and when it was all over, William got off free, but the guy ended up getting killed. They found William with all the stuff that came from the guy's house, and they arrested him. He pled guilty, and he ended up with a death sentence. He was guilty of murder. He had confessed to the crime, and he was on death row. He was on death row, and he was within days of them strapping the wrists around him to be able to go through the death penalty, when a pastor came up and talked to him about Jesus. He talked to him about Jesus, and William trusted Jesus Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. His life was completely changed. They ended up giving a stay of execution. His life had changed so dramatically that when he went in front of the board to allow him to go free, he completely was set free. Now he's a member of a church down outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Lee Strobel, the Christian writer, went down to interview him about the change that happened in his life, and he asked him this question. He said, William, he said, what was it in the prison that turned your life around? Was it the programs that they had? Was it the counseling that you got? What was it? And he just looked at him and he said, it was Jesus. Jesus changed my life. He said, had it not been for Jesus, I would have been dead. He said, but Jesus saved my soul and he saved my life. And Jesus can do the same for anybody. You know what you ought to do. Just like Naaman, just do it. Trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer just for a moment. Naaman was a great soldier, but he had a problem with leprosy. Maybe you're a great person, a wonderful mom, wonderful dad, good employee, good veteran, good citizen of the United States, good friend, but we all have the same problem, and it's sin. We can't get rid of it, and it's going to take us to our grave, and we're going to stand in front of God. There is a cure, and it is Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. And I just, you know, this is between you and him. It's not between me. I want to give you a time right now that if you want to, you can ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. Just in the quietness of this time, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died on the cross for me. And I want to receive him as my Lord. Turn my life over to him. Just take a few moments. And if you're here and you have an impossible situation, God can work it out. With God, all things are possible. I'm not saying they will happen, but they're possible. There is nothing impossible when you put God in the equation. So whatever you're going through, give it all to God. In a moment, we're going to just have a time where Barb's going to play through a song, and I'm going to be down here in the front. If you'd like to come and talk with me or pray with me about what it is you're going through, if you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're going through an impossible situation, we're going to give you that time. You can come down here and just sit down and pray about that. Some people like to actually kneel down in the front and pray about that, but we want to give you that time. Just talk to God about what's been going on in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. He can make the impossible possible. Lord, the dead ends we get into in our life, the negative feedback that we hear that things can't be done. And Father, we don't want to be so positive that we know it will happen, but Lord, we know that when we have you, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible. I pray for those who are trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today. May they know that Jesus Christ will forgive them of all of their sins, will be a part of their life forever. They can trust him. For those that have impossible situations, may they give it to you and see how you can work even in an impossible situation. So, Father, as we spend some time just thinking about that, I pray that you would move in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.